هون لگل اس بی اس راژیو بشی کردینا.
Music has always been a powerful form of expression, whether be it emotional and personal or as a mean of resistance and conveying for a much more important and larger cause. Now, the book by Kurdish author and journalist Behruz Buchani, No Friends But the Mountains, Writing from Manis Prison, is being translated once again, this time into a musical symphony. With us today, Dr. Amir Tawfikyan, the translator of Behruz's book, No Friends But the Mountains, Writings from Manis Prison. Umid, welcome to SBS Kurdish again.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It was through your amazing work of translation that the English-speaking world, generally speaking, got to read Behruz's writing. How do you feel about this musical production?
Well, to be honest, I had an imagination. I had this view that this would happen one day, and I'm really excited about it. And I think this is basically only one of many, many more adaptations and interpretations of this work.
The success of the book in itself has been huge, we could say globally, but particularly in Australia. What does this mean to you?
Well, essentially, the most important thing for me and for Behruz was to communicate what systematic torture means. This is a story about oppression, it's about domination, it's about subjugation of all marginalised, oppressed, excluded groups, not just in the Australian context, but globally, and particularly in relation to Kurdistan. So for me, this is really important because it actually brings in different audiences, people with different interests, different sensibilities, different ways of communicating, people who speak different languages. It introduces them to these particular themes and invites them into the debate. So hopefully with new communicators, new people to interact with, we can actually expand this conversation and bring people into the collective movement.
You have been involved quite heavily in this question and this cause for the refugees, and particularly in Australia, and the situation for the asylum seekers in the recent years. Do you believe music has become a powerful method of survival and resistance, if you like, for the refugees and asylum seekers in Australian detention?
There's so much to be said about this question. It's an excellent question. Certainly, for people who are held in indefinite detention, people who are subject to Australia's border regime, there's very little opportunity to resist. And so there's almost... people are looking for almost anything they can to fight against the system and to survive this system. So something like music is important for many different reasons. One, it connects people with their cultural heritage. It reminds them of who they are, what their character involves, what they're passionate about, and it maintains their identity, because this system is designed to break people and to strip them of their identities. That's important in that respect, but also in terms of resistance. So this music, poetry, storytelling, art is always used by people in order to challenge the system, in order to expose the system. And what's really interesting is that on a place like Manus Island, people who were detained there would connect with different sounds, not just with music. They would connect with nature. They would connect with the stories and the culture of the local people on Manus Island. They would connect with people in other parts of the world through platforms like WhatsApp, for instance, or Facebook. And these would always involve rhythm, melody. And I think this is really important because people, in order to resist, also need a cause for celebration, a cause for joy, a cause for hope. So I think that's what music has given them. So it's multidimensional. There's the element of survival, and there's also the element of resistance.
Also, speaking about music, do you think it became a method of them conveying their message to the wider Australian community through music and through their talents, for example, on social media and in the media in general?
Certainly, I think that it was a good medium, but at the same time, music is has for music to gain traction, it needs to be both ways. So people making the music, sending out the message is one thing, but I think the Australian public really needs to respond to that, not just in artistic ways, not just in creative ways, but also in political ways to make sure that this system doesn't continue. I think one of the things that we need to think about, and I hope this project actually creates a discussion around this issue, and that is that there needs to be the right infrastructure for these sorts of resistance, these sorts of expression, to have a place and to be leveraged for real change, sustainable change. So I think we need that. We need the right support base. We need the right people to listen. We need the right people to be able to interpret as well, and also, yeah, to lead to other kinds of transformation.
Coming back to this symphony, what can you tell us about the project and how involved have you been?
Well, I was contacted by Luke Stiles, who is the composer, and that was quite some time ago, well over a year ago. I can't remember exactly, but he contacted me because he'd read the book and he was trying to communicate with Behrouz, and so I put Luke in touch with Behrouz and also wrote support letters for Luke so that he could get his own support and funding for this project. And I was really impressed with the work that Luke had done in the past and the reviews that had been written about his work. So I thought this would be a perfect fit. And I was impressed to see how things developed. And once the symphony was created, I started to work with Luke and with Margot and George, who were involved in this event as well. And we started to work with different organizations, promote it through different channels. I think the way that they've consulted with us has been important. I think that was vital for getting this right, for communicating this in the right way, and for sending the right message. And I think that we're just at the beginning now. I think that it's got a huge future, and I think hopefully more projects like this will develop. But also I would say to transform this into political change is also vital. So it's not just left at the cultural, artistic level.
Of course, the production is named No Friends But the Mountains, a symphonic song cycle. Have you had a chance to listen to the music itself and what you think of it?
Yes, I have. I've listened to the different excerpts, and I think Adrian does a wonderful job of transforming the text into song. And yeah, I'm really interested to see how the whole thing comes together, because, you know, listening to parts of it is one thing, but listening to the symphony as a whole, I think, will be a whole different experience. And of course, something like this is much better live. So I hope borders allow and I can come to Melbourne to see it.
The premiere will be on 21st of March in Melbourne at the Sydney Mayor Musical Bowl. Dr. Umut Tawfikyan, we thank you so much for your time and all that wonderful insight you've given us today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
دەتەوێت بابەتی دیکەی وەک ئەمە ببیستی؟ گوێڕایرە لەسەر ئەپڵ پۆدکاست، گوگڵ پۆدکاست، سپۆتیفای یان لە هەر کوێیەک پۆدکاستەکانت بەدەست دەهێنیت.